Okay, friends. Do we have any really embarrassing middle names? Just out of interest. Yeah, any embarrassing middle names? This is Life Point, our bio strap line. Real people, real life. So real names, where are they? Come on. Anyone? No embarrassing middle names, really. Elspeth, that's not embarrassing. That's a legendary name in Life Point. No embarrassment there. Okay, how about a fabulous meaning? Does everyone know the meaning of their names? Or what is the meaning of a name anyway? Is it just what it's derived from? Yeah, Liz. Unnaturally strong. Wow. Woohoo. Angus, rocking the strong one there.
Phil means lover of horses.
Phil is the lover of horses. What's that? You are the queen of the fairies. Who knew? But there it is, ladies and gentlemen, Tanya, the queen of the fairies. Any others? Mighty in battle. How fitly named you are, Matilda, right? So, India? Yes. Wow. So that's a kind of roadmap for your marriage, really, isn't it, I guess? That is so true, Matthew. A great name, isn't it? Matityahu, a gift of God. That's a wonderful name right there that you have there. Yeah. And actually, my middle name is Anthony with an H, but apparently you don't say it. Is that right in England? You don't say the H in England. Anthony. I had a very English speech and drama teacher who said, no, it's Anthony, dear. Anyway, which means very fine. Yeah. Matthew Anthony. Anyway, names. So I've been thinking a little bit about Mary this week and imagining that initial scene when the angel turns up, Gabriel turns up and says, hey, you're going to have a baby and his name shall be. And I wonder what happened for Mary at that moment. I mean, one of the few ways that you can exert lasting control over your children is by giving them a name. And Mary can feel that sinking feeling that already I'm not even pregnant yet. I'm being told I'm having a baby and I don't even get to choose the name. And of course, in biblical terms, this can go very, very wrong. In Isaiah 8, for example, like never marry a prophet. Because chances are you're going to have a kid that gets a name that has to carry a whole weight of meaning from God. Imagine if your name was this. Hello, my name is Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Isaiah 8, yeah, God speaks to the prophet and says, you're going to have a boy and his name shall be this, which means swift the plunder, speedy the booty. Cool, eh? And so he goes and he can see, you know, to his wife and she conceives and he says, honey, I've got news for you. Oh, dear. So that could have gone through Mary's mind, right? What if God gives my son a crazy out there name by which he will evermore be embarrassed in his young life among his peers, he'll be scorned. And so what is the name that is given? Well, his name shall be Jesus. But you see, the story doesn't end there. What kind of a name is Jesus? For us, it's an incredibly special and unique name. In parts of Latin America, of course, there are many Jesus, but you won't find many here. And I bet you no LifePoint parents are contemplating the name Jesus for their kids. Like it's a name that has been taken over by Jesus Christ in whom we believe. But it wasn't so in the time of Mary. Mary hears Jesus and her mind starts wandering. She thinks, Jesus, well, that's a very ordinary name, which it is. There are lots of Jesuses in first century Galilee. Plenty of them. So the first place she goes maybe is, maybe it's a family name that I'm not aware of. And so she talks to Joseph at some stage and she says, is there a Jesus in your line? I don't know any in mine. And sure enough, there is, Luke 3:29. There is a Jesus in the line of Joseph, according to Luke. Jesus ben Eliezer, Jesus son of Eliezer. So an ordinary name. Mary isn't where we are thinking, wow, the name of Jesus. She's thinking, I'm going to have a remarkable son with a name that one of my forebears had. And there's a sign, a token already, that Jesus, for all his uniqueness, is one of us, has a name like ours. Could even be Matthew, you know? That would be appropriate too for Jesus. Elspeth? No, possibly not. So that's her first thought, maybe, is there anyone in the family name? Because, of course, it's very traditional to do this, to give your child, especially your firstborn, a name that reflects your ancestry. And many of us have done exactly that, right? But then she thinks, oh, so there's an old photo of Jesus ben Eliezer, first thought. Kind of dashing, actually. Or maybe she thinks, hang on, why is Jesus such a famous name? Well, consider where it's come from. Yehoshua is where it started. Yehoshua becomes Yeshua and is translated into Greek as Jesus. Yeshua, Yehoshua. And who was Yehoshua? Joshua, right? Joshua, aptly named, Yahweh saves. And what was God doing through Joshua? Saving. He took his people into the promised land. So Joshua is that savior that follows on directly from Moses to bring the people of God into the land of promise. In other words, now Mary's really thinking, whoa, that's quite a serious name. Yes, it's a common name, but it's also a name of heroism. Of the great general of Israel, Joshua. That's Moshe Dayan, for those who don't know, Israeli. So, is Jesus an ordinary guy with an ordinary heritage? Is that what he's about? Is he the hero? Is he someone who will follow in the footsteps of Joshua himself and be the great savior? And Mary watches these things play out, I think, over the course of Jesus' life as he grows up. For many years, although there are many fables and legends around the fancy things that Jesus did when he was a kid, I think mostly he was a kid. He had an ordinary childhood in many respects. His dad was a worker with his hands, and Jesus would have learned the craft. There are remarkable moments, to be sure, in the temple. But in many ways, Jesus turns out to be the wonderful, special, eldest child of a young family in Palestine. He's a Palestinian Jew. But then, of course, there come the messianic years, the 3 years, when Jesus is all kinds of messianic fulfillment all over the place, healing and exorcising and preaching the kingdom of God and making these bold claims about himself that set himself up to be, as Mary watches on, Joshua and more. And so this ordinary and this heroism, all of that is written there. But then Mary has another moment, doesn't she? She'll be there in the crowd that stands before Pilate, the governor. And there is another Jesus there, right? So her son, Jesus, is standing there where she would never have imagined him to stand in front of the governor, and he is under the sentence of death, potentially. And Pilate brings out another one, and he's introduced. This is Jesus. This is Jesus Barabbas. Jesus, the son of Abba. And so Mary is looking up and she sees these two men. She sees her son, Jesus, and she sees this man. This is an Israeli gangster. His name isn't Jesus, but. And she sees this thug, essentially, a bad man, so unlike her son in every way, but also the same name. And she watches, of course, at the travesty of justice, how it plays out, and how the crowd cries out that her son be the one to go to the cross, be the one under judgment. And this man, this other Jesus, this Jesus, son of Abba, that he be set free. And she watches as the man is led away, smiling, punching his fist in the air. So Jesus, the ordinary, Jesus, the hero, Jesus, the sacrifice. All of these Mary sees. And then I imagine her just later in life singing one of the early Christian songs. In Philippians 2, there is a song It doesn't read like a song, maybe, in English. And I didn't have quite time to set it to music this week, but it's been done, I think, from time to time. And I think it breaks down nicely into verse one, verse two, the climb or the pre-chorus, and then the chorus. And I imagine Mary in a congregation, in a house church somewhere, when she's much older, singing this song, and it's a song about her son. And it tells the story, or the whole story, really. It brings in the ordinary that we celebrate today. It brings in the heroism of the messianic years. It brings in the sacrifice, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then it ends on a note of highest triumph. So let's read. We can't sing it maybe, but let's read it together, this early Christian hymn. Verse 1, Christ Jesus, in the form of God, saw not equality with God as plunder, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Verse 2, alike to humankind becoming, found in human form, he humbled himself, submitting unto death, even the death of a cross. And so Mary, singing these words, the life of her son flashes before her, found in human form, and she remembers how he was a baby held in her arms. Like, and now it turns out, so unlike all the other babies of her family. Found in human likeness, found in human form, human in every way, she remembers. And she remembers Pilate, and she remembers seeing her son upon the cross and his life draining away. The climb. So God made him highest, gifted him the name above every name. Together, let's do it. So God made him highest, gifted him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, the question that Jesus asks us every day of our lives is this: who do you say I am? The world says that the question we must ask always is, who am I? That's what we have to find out. The great project of our lives is to find out who we really are by peering deep inside, by experiencing ourselves and then narrating that to ourselves and then bringing that to the world to gain our place, to fight for our place in the world. That's the project of identity in the world. But we know better. We know that the question that really must be answered for us is this: who is Jesus? Everything else follows from that. And the image you have of Jesus today, the sense you have of who the Son of God really is, that will drive your relationship with him, and from it, your relationship with all things, with yourself, with your family, with your world. Who do you say I am? What is beautiful and wonderful about Jesus is that there are so many entry points to knowing Jesus, one of which is through this day where Jesus comes as a baby, like indisputably human, frail and fragile. And did Jesus poop? Yes. Was he quiet and no sound he made? No. Fine lungs upon him, right? I mean, this is a real baby. And then he becomes a real toddler. And then he becomes a real tween, right? And a real teen. A real person and a real young adult. And a real adult at age 30 setting out on his 3-year mission. So all of that teaches us that we can come to Jesus as to a real person. And that may be your entry point today. That's maybe what you need to hear and be reminded of, is that for all the exaltation of Jesus, he is also a human. He is also just like you. And you can come to him and say, Lord Jesus, you're just like me. You understand me. You know what it is to feel what I feel and experience what I experience and be tempted as I am tempted. Please be alongside me, Lord Jesus. But maybe your starting point is Joshua. Maybe it's the heroism of Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the one who comes riding down the clouds to rescue you. and you are under the cloud, right? The cloud is covering you in this thousand-day year that we've all had. It's overcast, and there is no sign of the sun. And Jesus for you is Joshua. He is the one who breaks through the cloud, sweeps you up in his chariot, and rides you off to the promised land. He's the hero. He's the Messiah. And friends, he is. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the one who teaches the truth. He is the one that performs miracles to sustain his people. He is all of that, and you can come to him today. Or maybe for you, Jesus is the sacrifice, and that's where you need to be, that you can see that face of Barabbas, Jesus, son of Abba, and you think that could be me. I'm the one who should be condemned. Look at my year. And what you carry into this Christmas day is a sense of shame and a sense of impossibility and of failure and of need and of not able to conquer in yourself. It's not what is without that troubles you, but what is within. And friends, this is Jesus. Jesus is the sacrifice, the lamb sacrificed before the foundation of the world. He is given for the forgiveness of sins. And you can come to him today, to this baby Jesus, is also the Savior, also the Redeemer. And maybe the place you need to come to, because all these roads lead there in the end, is the sense that Jesus is Lord. You need to know that he is the Lord of all, that he has been raised from the dead and now dwells at the right hand of God. And as Hebrews says, we don't yet see everything submitted to Jesus. We don't yet, but we do see Jesus, who tasted death for us, now established on high, and who one day will return. And all of this is signaled in the day. Mary, I know in Catholicism, Mary is held high. I think we should hold Mary high because she is holy. She is special. And that is because of her association with this man, with this Jesus. That's what makes us holy. To be associated with Jesus in his humanity, in his saving power, in his redeeming sacrifice, and in his lordship. Let's pray and respond to the Lord today as he comes to us. Jesus is here. Indeed, the fullness of God on this day, in this moment, dwells here with us. Because this day is precious to our God. And know that Jesus is here. Consider these images of Jesus, these truths about him. How will you respond to him today? Some of us experience life as very lonely. We imagine no one can stand with us or does. And for you, the gift of Jesus' humanity today. Some of us here know defeat. And we imagine there is none to heal, none to save. Yeshua, Yehoshua, is the gift to you today, the Savior, the Conqueror. Some of us carry a burden of sin and of shame and of failure. The sacrifice, Jesus who gave his life for you, he is your gift today. Lord Jesus, we respond to you just as we are. We are flummoxed by the mystery of you coming as a baby. It's crazy, but also there's something in it for us, Lord, today. And so we come and we respond. We say you are alive, that you are fully human, that you are fully God, that you are the sacrifice and you are the Savior and you are the Lord. And we give our lives to you again, and we give our church to you again. And we put into your care, Lord, those of our acquaintance, those we love and care for, who do not yet know you, Lord. Oh, we bring them to you too, that they may come to know you as you truly are. And as we sing these hymns, these great carols, Lord, we offer them as prayers to you. We offer them as proclamations of the truth. We declare to the powers in heaven, not all of them sympathetic to your cause, Lord. We sing them. We sing the truth to them of this Jesus who came at Christmas time and who lived among us and who died and who rose again and who will return. Amen.